believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show, everybody. April 30th, 2009. Welcome to the show. Again, I appreciate everybody listening and tuning in your morning. It's kind of funny. I have a number of people that have asked me, but a bunch of people who are actually rather close to me that I've known for some time, say, hey, how's the radio show going? So what that means is I don't listen, right? These are people I've known for years. I haven't been listening. Where are you at? Like, a friend of mine asked me yesterday, he goes, where are you at up in the Bay Area? Like, what do you mean, where am I? I'm on the radio. What station? I don't have a list of stations. I don't know. But you can also tune in online. So, you know, there's several ways to listen. What time are you on? Well, Pacific time at 7 a.m. Oh, that's too early for me, man. I'm in bed. Okay, you can go to 2aradio.com and you can go to the archives. Really? Yeah, thanks for your support, by the way, knucklehead. 6 weeks into the show and you haven't heard a single one. Oh, well, I've been reading on a couple of forums and it's really good. Why don't you answer your own question? Go back and listen to a couple of shows and, you know, see how it is. So it's kind of funny. As a matter of fact, some of my own family members haven't even tuned into the show. Hey, man, you know, how are things going? Why don't you listen on your way to work, jackass? Anyhow, it's kind of funny. I have a couple of things that I looked up yesterday, and I could use a little bit of your help if anybody wants to chime in, because it worked really well last time. Last time I asked if we could look up and see what we could charge government officials, what we could charge them with criminally, if they outright went out of their way to lie or mislead the public on any issue to further another agenda. Right? Well, we came up with fraud. We can do that. We could actually go and do a citizen's arrest on someone for doing that. As a matter of fact, Clinton, she would be in jail I don't know how many times over. Eric Holder, same thing. Obama, actually the same thing with this 90% of guns. Now they're saying 90% of the guns submitted to the U.S. to be traced can be traced back to the U.S. Okay, well, that's a bunch of bull. Actually, it's more like 84% of the ones that were traceable that we actually could trace that we got traces on. But it's still 17% of all the guns. It's ridiculous. Totally retarded. Anyhow, what my point being is I looked up, and it would appear as though this whole right-wing extremist thing that came out from DHS, Janet Napolitano's office put out, would be absolutely, it's profiling. We know it's profiling. And it looks to be a violation under Title 41 of the U.S. Code to offer profiling. Now, with most profiling things, they keep it to racial. However, there's so many different ways to profile so many different things. One of our listeners is putting together the site, imonjanetslist.com. And on there, we're going to have should be hundreds of Americans from history that would fall under that right-wing extremist group. You know, the drafters of the Constitution, the founding fathers that actually put that together, as well as a Declaration of Independence. Untold numbers of generals and admirals within the history of the United States, presidents, vice presidents, secretaries of state, all kinds of people. We're probably not going to get everybody, but you can submit more yourself. Plus, you can go on there. You'll be able to go on there and put your first and last name, your city and state, just to really kind of shove it to these guys and let them know we're not afraid of you. You should be afraid of us. We're willing to stand up and let you know, yes, you should be concerned because you're screwing up. Stick around through the break. We'll be back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, you guys might remember back in March when the Department of Defense came out and said, you know what, here's our new regulation. If you buy brass shell casings from Department of Defense, if you win the bid and you buy these things, you're going to have to bring in some equipment to destroy it here on site, or you're going to have one of our inspectors come with you so we can guarantee that it's been destroyed so they don't get reused, resold, whatever it may be. And directly after, I think it was about 4 days later, they reversed that due to all of the pressure. So here's a story I want to read to you. The Chaffetz bill would require government to resell shell casings. Right, this comes out just, I think, this morning. For 4 days in March, gun owners across the country were up in arms about the Department of Defense decision to not resell its spent brass casings. The DOD sells more than 100 million used casings per year, and 223, 308, also in 9mm, to businesses such as Georgia Arms near Atlanta, which in turn reloads the cartridges and sells them to the public. Representative Jason Chaffetz said the decision not to resell was made intentionally by the Obama administration, and he plans to introduce legislation to ensure it does not happen again. So good job for you, Jason Chaffetz. It was a concerted effort by the administration to short the supply, end quote, of ammunition, said the 3rd District Republican, who reviewed it as a backdoor gun control. Georgia Arms co-owner Larry Haney agrees. He said he was told by the government officials that it was a clerical error. Hell no, he said when asked if he believed that. That's just the government's catch-all right there. There is a press release from the Defense Logistics Agency 4 days after it was initially stated that the casings would be destroyed instead of resold. The DLA is in charge of handling the spent cartridges, including determining their impact on national security. It reads in part, upon review, the Defense Logistics Agency has determined that cartridge casings could not be appropriately placed in a category of governmental property allowing for their release for sale. Haney said it was the uproar that caused the change, not a question of national security. The American system still works, he said. Chaffetz wants to make sure that the river of empty brass continues to flow from DOD into private hands. The legislation will read, the Secretary of Defense may not implement any policy that would prevent or place undue restrictions on the continued sale of intact spent military brass ammunition casings to domestic manufacturers of small arms ammunition. Hear ye, how about that? We actually have somebody who's going to stand up for that. The ammunition market seems to be doing a fine job of keeping prices high all by itself. Since Obama was elected, they've just run away, Haney said, because of fears of gun control legislation. The last time sales were this high was when Bill Clinton was president and talking about an assault weapons ban. He's armed up Americans way more than Clinton ever thought about doing. So imagine that. As a matter of fact, because of the a friend of mine sent me an email, by the way, thanks, James, that was it was kind of a falsehood on this, how Obama's talked all about these assault weapons and considering that they're likely going to look at taking away and passing some sort of a bill against them or ammunition. So there's no guns, there's no ammo available hardly. I mean, it's really, really difficult to find any good guns and any good ammunition out there. Very difficult. Matter of fact, a friend of mine from California sent me a text yesterday that said, hey, man, I can't find any ammo. Where do I find it? I told him, I said, it's a national crisis. It's hard to find anywhere. It's luck of the draw. As it turns out, he found some on Craigslist and went and found a guy off of Craigslist and got himself some ammo. Anyhow, my point being that this email my friend James sent to me, it was to boost car sales. And it was on the how was it worded? I'm trying to recollect this. I read it a little while back. Something along the lines of assault vehicles, because they have fully automatic transmissions, and vehicles with fully automatic transmissions cause more negligent vehicular homicide than cars with manual transmissions. And so that was a whole spoof that there's going to be a kind of a ghost campaign out of the Obama administration to try and boost sales of assault vehicles with fully automatic transmissions, just to get the ailing car industry going, because it certainly worked with guns. Anyhow, just a little bit of humor going on there. Okay, a little bit more kind of on this whole thing where they said it was a clerical error when it comes to this this whole casing thing. That's a cover. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. And whoever said that, we should be able to go on there through the Freedom of Information Act and find out, you know, the piece of legislation, or I'm sorry, the order that was written, the rescind of the when it was rescinded, that order, and any paper trail in between, and find out whoever said, oh, it was a clerical error. Find out whoever said that and get them for fraud. We should go in and do a citizen's arrest on them for fraud, because that is a bunch of just lame lies, really, really lame lies. Just as cloak and dagger, so, oh, yeah, it was a clerical error. You know, you just lied to me. You just lied to me under the color of your position within the federal government. You are not allowed to do that. Okay, everyone is allowed to make mistakes. And if in the DOD they want to make a mistake, and the mistake says we're not going to sell the brass casings, and then through pressure they change that over, okay, we're going to undo that mistake, but then somebody lies about it, oh, that was a clerical error. No, it wasn't. That was an order that was given that did not go unnoticed, and there was huge outcry against it, because it was also against President Obama when he came out and said, we're going to have total transparency, people are going to be involved, I don't want to have just executive orders issued out of different departments within the cabinet. I don't want to deal with any of that. So don't do it. And that was his order to the other branches of the executive arm of the federal government. They've done it anyhow, just in total violation, just basically thumbing their nose at Obama. Well, wonderful. Great. Thank you. Because we've overturned a couple of those. The two that come to mind are this thing with the casings, and the other one was the National Park Service saying, yeah, we're going to ban lead. So you can't go shooting there. You can't go fishing there with lead waste. You can't do any of that. Now, one of the things I do as a hobby, I handload ammunition. I don't necessarily say that I would reload. There are a few casings I've fired in the past that I have reloaded, but mostly I use new components. And I only load for a very specific couple of different rifle calibers. There's just a few different rifle calibers. 308 Winchester, 22 250, 416 Remington Magnum, 30-30 Winchester. And I have the stuff to do 8mm LaBelle. I've got an old 8mm LaBelle. And I also have the stuff to do 7.5 Swiss. I have an old Schmidt Reuben. I haven't done either of those. But those are really the four cartridges that I've loaded for. I have a single-stage press. Matter of fact, I just got a new one sent to me yesterday. I ordered up like a $40 Lee press, so that I can do some case prep on that. Because to have a single-stage rock chucker press, to do the case prep, it's a little difficult, you know, changing all this stuff in and out. Anyhow, so what I've done is I've loaded a number of rounds of all copper bullets made by Barnes. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Barnes bullets, they're out of, I'm pretty sure it's American Fork, Utah. They make probably the best bullets in the world when it comes to being a little unique, a little outside of the box thinking. And a lot of the bullets that they make, like their TSX series, they're all copper. They're a hollow point. They pull back into what are really sharpened areas. So when it peels back as you fire it into game, like a deer or a pig or an elk or whatever, it's got these really kind of a razor sharp edge, four of them that peel back into this clover. Very, very predictable stuff. I loaded some in 30-30, so if I go pig hunting in an area where they ban lead, like an area of California, they have this this lead ammunition ban because they fear that the California condor might swallow some lead and get sick. There's never been a single case of that, nor in most of the areas where it's banned have they ever even had a California condor in modern history, but yet they ban. It's just an ammunition thing. So these are approved rounds for that. So I loaded some 30-30s if I go up there and go pig hunting. And I also loaded some for 308. I loaded some 200 grain for my 308, which is awfully heavy for a 308, but I have a fairly tight twist in one of my 308 hunting rifles. And it'll stabilize a 200 grain round. Got some Hodgson 4895 behind it. CCI primers on it, new casings. This is a good round. As a matter of fact, it's not a new casing. I reloaded those in some rather heavy-duty, once-fired Lake City brass. So I was able, you know, hopping up the powder a little bit with a 200-grain load. It's pretty heavy. I've got a fairly heavy, stout, thicker-walled casing for these rounds. I also have some others, and I think 165-grain for deer and such. If I ever go to a place where you're not supposed to shoot with lead. So, you know, I'm good to go. Until we can actually get these people who passed this legislation to realize you're stupid. We all know it's gun control. You know it's gun control. You might be so in the dark. You might have your head buried so far in the sand that you really believe that this is a good thing. When, in fact, we show you the trail of where all you anti-gunners come from, you realize that this is just a load of garbage that you're spewing, trying to ban certain types of ammunition. You just don't like guns. So until we can do that and get some of this stuff overturned, which we're in the process of, you got to play their game a little bit. I'm playing their game some. Okay, so enough about the brass casings and these guys lying about it. If you get the opportunity to go to D.C. and arrest some of these people on fraud, we have to get all the paper trail together and say, look, I'm here to arrest Janet Napolitano on this with this profiling. I'm here to arrest this person from DOD for lying about this stuff. Here it all is. Here's all the information. And we need to gather that information and get this sort of thing done. Once we start making examples of some people, even if they're lower-end people rather than the higher-end people, they're going to start taking notice, as they do when we call and say, you can't keep the brass and not sell it to us. Stick around through the break. We'll be back.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Hey, guys. Welcome back from the break. There's a bit of a news story that has come out of Utica, New York, spelled U-T-I-C-A, Utica, New York. What they're proposing is something like the sex offenders registry. Somebody is convicted of a sex crime. There's a registry where they have to register who they are and their address, where they live. In Utica, New York, they are proposing a law within that town that if you are convicted of a crime with a firearm, you would have to register as a let me see if I can actually find the way that they read it here. The law, similar to the sex offender registry, would require any person convicted of criminal possession of a weapon in the third degree to register their address with police and report personally to the Utica police every 6 months. Registration requirements would continue for 4 years after the offenders are released. So it's not just any gun crime. It's if you get it to a certain degree, like let's say I am in possession of a friend's gun, and within that municipality it's illegal for that to happen, but it's a slap on the wrist little thing. I wouldn't have to register. But if you, it's essentially a crime where you are not allowed to possess guns any longer, you would have to register and see them twice a year. I am a fan of this because it is not requiring any registration of any guns at all. It's requiring the registration of someone convicted of a gun crime. And those are the type of people that make me look bad, make you look bad, make everybody else who's a Second Amendment supporter, a member of the NRA, a member of Gun Owners of America, a member of the Second Amendment Foundation, a member of Jews for the Preservation of Firearm Safety, you know, the Pink Pistols. There's everybody that has anything to do with any pro-gun stuff that are law-abiding citizens. This does not affect us at all. But the people who abuse guns and commit crimes with guns, they would have to register as individuals. I like this idea. I like it a lot on its surface. Now, I haven't been there to hear the arguments within the city council of Utica, New York. It's a little bit of a drive for me to get there. However, on the surface, I like this idea. If you're convicted of a sex crime, you've got to register. Therefore, people know to look out for you. If you're convicted of a gun crime, you know what? People look out for you. chances of repeat offenders are quite high. You start registering people, and that goes down because everybody knows. On the surface, I really like this idea. I really do. Send me your comments, bill@2aradio.com. Let me know what you think about this. I'm kind of a fan. If people commit crimes and they tend to be repeat offenders, this is the sort of thing that would really curb that. The people on the sex offender registry, since that has happened in the last several years, since that's really swept the country, these sex offender registries, where you can go online and pull up where your house is and look at the different people in your neighborhood, in your community, which have been convicted as a sex offender, you can see literally where they live compared to where you live. And sometimes it's a bit of a rude awakening. But you know, you can help guide steering away from there, keeping your kids safe away from there, and such as that. If these people cannot get jobs, in schools and other government agencies, where any place where you would actually have a kid, daycare center, things like that, they can't do that because of the way the sex offender registry goes. So it removes them from the ability to continue to commit these horrible crimes. This idea of people who have committed a gun crime up to a certain, anything other than just a really simple kind of a violation of some statute, as opposed to an actual crime that was committed. To do that would very likely be an excellent tool for preventing crime, therefore not requiring legislative bodies from passing an inordinate number of anti-gun and anti-ammunition legislation for those of us who are law-abiding, that we're the only ones who pay attention to laws anyhow. People who break laws don't. But to have them registered, monitored, watched, and put out into the public, that would definitely help deter crime if it works anything at all similar to the way the sex offender registry works. I like this idea. Now, I don't like the idea that it's going to go on. And what about the, auto theft registry? Now, what about the, spitting on the sidewalk registry? None of that. Because you start overdoing this, there's too much information, people are not going to pay attention. But the biggest enemy to those of us who are law-abiding gun owners, the biggest enemy are people who commit crimes with guns, bar none. Because they commit crimes with guns, and then the legislators come after us. The only similarity we've got is that we possess firearms. They're not used in the same way. They're not purchased in the same way. They're not handled in the same way. So it's ridiculous. Because this guy in a Toyota goes and drives drunk, everybody else who owns a Toyota or a Japanese-made car has to pay for it. Now, that's not cool. So I like the idea of this registry. I like it a lot. On its surface, we'll see where it goes. I'm going to monitor this, see what happens with this. I really, really believe this could help prevent crime. Not probably so much the initial crime, but prevent repeat offenders from offending more with these guns. I really like this on the surface. Send me your comments again, bill@2aradio.com. Stick around. We'll be back after the break, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443. Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
You know, I got to tell you guys, it's a good thing I'm not a disc jockey on a rock and roll station. I would be breaking stuff. Just, I don't know. It's just my thing. All right, I got to tell you some really good news coming out of the state of Montana. Now, I have traveled quite a few states within the U.S. I've been to probably, I'd say more than 30 states, 35 states probably, maybe missed 10, 15 here and there. One of the states I have missed is Montana. I have never been to Montana. However, Montana seems to be so inviting to me. When you see the pictures, you see films that are shot there. I know some people who live there. A good friend of mine, a guy that retired and settled down there. He's kind of a snowbird. He goes down to the Phoenix area during the wintertime. Can't blame him. And, you know, this time of year, he's up in Montana with his wife. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. A guy by the name of Jerry. Jerry sends me news articles all the time out of stuff going on in Montana. And, Jerry, I want to thank you very much. Very, very good guy. Just a great dude. Anyhow, there's just all these wonderful things that seem to be in Montana. There's glaciers and there's places to go and do this outdoorsy stuff. Stuff that I really dig. The only thing I can think of that Montana has that I would probably really not care to have anything to do with is Ted Turner and his super ranch. Because he's a Marxist, leftist, just scuzzball kind of a guy, right? One of these limousine liberals. So, I mean, he's made his money in a capitalist society, but yet now he wants to, you know, anyhow. We don't need to talk about Ted Turner. He's a goof. However, there's just so many things about Montana that are intriguing to me, and I've never gone there. I generally don't go to places unless I have a reason to go there, some underlying reason. There's a couple of exceptions, like my two favorite places on planet Earth are Hawaii and Disneyland. Those are the two places I can go and never want to go home. I mean, Disneyland to me truly is the happiest place on earth. I love going there. I used to go there monthly. I'm not far. Now, recently, I haven't been. However, I also dig Hawaii, and someday I'd like to end up there. But Montana has its own great feeling to me. I like it. And this story I'm about to read to you makes me like it even more, all right? NRA-backed legislation has been signed into law in Montana that enhances the right of self-defense for law-abiding Montanans. That was called House Bill 228. Listen to how it passed. Okay, in the House, it passed 85-14. In the Senate, 40-10. Okay, the overriding principle embodied in House Bill 228 in Montana is that self-defense is a fundamental right, and this new law will reinforce that right, said Chris Cox of the NRA. He's the chief lobbyist for the NRA. Law-abiding citizens should be afforded every opportunity to defend themselves and their loved ones, and they should not be treated like criminals if they choose to exercise this important right. Part of the underlying thing, what he said, should not be treated as criminals if they exercise this important right. California, the state of California, has a castle doctrine on the books. However, it is generally overlooked. If someone uses a gun for self-defense, even in their own home, that person who used the gun in a huge area, a huge number of areas in California, are treated like criminals, even though they had their right. And there's a castle doctrine on the books. Okay, so in Montana, this ain't going to go down. House Bill 228 is a broad piece of legislation that provides a number of specific protections for law-abiding citizens. This new law clarifies the ability of law-abiding citizens to carry a firearm in plain view and to present the firearm for self-defense purposes when threatened. Additionally, the law puts clearly into statute existing Montana case law that when threatened, a law-abiding citizen has no duty to retreat if that person is in any place he or she has a legal right to be. Other provisions include expanding existing law to allow the use of force in defense of an occupied structure and preventing landlords and hotel operators from restricting self-defense rights. That means you can't rent an apartment or a house and the landlord say, you know, my house, my property, my rules, you can't have any guns or ammo here. Or in a hotel say, you know, we're not going to allow you to have any guns in the rooms. So this prevents them from doing that. A second fundamental principle reflected in the language of House Bill 228 in Montana is the concept that a person is innocent until proven guilty. Okay. That shouldn't have to have been put in there. That is something that is within this nation. However, if you actually watch the news and you see the way court proceedings go, many people are in there trying to prove their innocence, when in fact that's not the way it's supposed to be. So it's nice to see that this was reaffirmed in Montana's House Bill 228. House Bill 228 is a victim's rights measure that further places the burden of the judicial system on the criminal. Any individual who acts in self-defense and is able to prove that he or she acted in self-defense will now be able to shift the burden of proving the absence of justification to the prosecution. You get that? They can say, look, here's my story. Here's a little bit of proof on my story. This is why I pulled out the gun and I shot that guy, because I was in fear of imminent threat of life or serious bodily injury to myself or my family. And let me articulate that for you. So you don't have to turn, run, and hide. You're like the bully that comes up to you and, I'm gonna kick your hind end in. You don't have to run away. They come up, they've got the motive, the opportunity, and the ability, and they have put into you an articulable threat to life or serious bodily injury imminently. You can present your gun out and defend yourself. Okay, the bill received overwhelming bipartisan support, and the NRA would like to thank Governor Schweitzer for signing the bill. Governor Schweitzer, I guess would be pronounced. Also to be commended are the efforts of lead sponsors, and it goes through all the names. The Montana Sports Shooting Association, Gary Marbut, also played an instrumental role in this effort, concluded Chris Cox of the NRA. So, excellent, good news for Montana. This is something the rest of the nation should be looking at and following suit. This is really kind of a tip of the spear sort of affair. Something that's going on in Kansas, the state legislature, both houses of the state legislature, approved a provision to be on next November's ballot so that all of the citizens of Kansas can vote on it. And this would be to amend the state constitution to essentially have their own version of the Second Amendment to the Constitution. It would ensure, regardless of what happens at the federal level, it would ensure within the boundaries of the state of Kansas and the residents thereof, the citizens of Kansas within the borders of Kansas would have a right to keep and bear arms as an individual and for self-protection. The states can do this. The states can guarantee this. As a matter of fact, one of the big ploys of the anti-gun people, Hillary Clinton is certainly one of them, Obama's certainly another, is that they will say, you know, I support the Second Amendment. I support an individual's right to keep and bear arms. But we need to have sensible legislation to prevent criminals from gun crimes. Okay? That sounds good. But this sensible legislation never comes out. This thing in New York that I talked about during the last segment about them having a bill that would come out and require you to register as a gun crime offender. Well, now that's probably the first bit of sensible legislation I've heard coming out of anybody's mouth in a long time. So for these gun control patsies that sit there and say, I support the Second Amendment. I support everybody's right to keep and bear arms. Okay, I just want to limit the type of guns they can have, how they can keep them, where they can have them, and they need to have a hunting or sporting purpose. Guys, I've been saying it for years. I've certainly been saying it since the advent of 2A radio. The Second Amendment does not protect anyone's rights to a hunting or sporting use of firearms. It protects our rights for defensive use of firearms. To be effective to use firearms in a defensive nature, we need a defensive, designed, built, and usable firearm for that. So they call these quote-unquote assault weapons what I like to call a counter-assault weapon. Somebody brings an assault to us, we counter it with the best gear and equipment we can have. somebody comes at me with an AK-47 or an M16 or something like that, okay, I don't want to go after them with a bolt-action Mauser. As good of a gun as that is, it's not going to lay down the quantity and repeatability because of magazine capacity than what I need. It's certainly a better caliber. I'd much rather have an 8mm Mauser round screaming down range than a 223 or even a 7.62x39, something that would come out of an AK. I'd rather have a full power 308, an odd 6, 8mm Mauser, something like that. Now that is a heavy duty round. Okay? How about a 308 caliber semi-auto battle rifle, counter-assault rifle? You know, something that's chambered. As a matter of fact, they've got this new one that runs off of Foul Manx coming out of, who is it? Kel-Tec made it. I think it's called the BFR, FBR, BFR, I think, who uses Foul Magazine. It's got forward ejection. It's a bullpup style 308, something like that. That's what I'm talking about. That has no legitimate sporting or hunting purpose. It has a defensive purpose. And for damn sake, that's something I want to have. Because when it comes time to defend myself or my family, if I need to defend my kids, if I need to defend my friends, my community, that's the type of gun I need to have. I don't need to be out there with a deer rifle or a shotgun that I use for hunting duck. Because that's not going to get the job done. And that is not protected by the Second Amendment. It is not protected by DC versus Heller. So that's why we have these rifles that you guys can't seem to stand. All right? How many crimes are actually committed with those types of guns? Very few. Very few, in fact. You know, back in 1997, Justice Department, I believe it was, did a report, and they interviewed 18,000 prisoners, convicts, that had been convicted of a crime involving a gun that they had in their possession. 18,000. 86% of this 18,000 said they got their guns through an illegal means, either through a burglary, through another criminal enterprise being bought on the street, through a family member or another friend. One way or another, they came into these possession of the guns that they had and the crime that they were convicted of illegally. 86%. The other 14% got them through, either already possessed them and had them legally, or got them through like some sort of a hand-me-down thing through like a death in a will, something like that. And a few of them actually went out and had owned the guns, had bought them legally. There was virtually no case, for the no measurable amount of cases, where these guys, there was a couple, but percentage-wise, it was less than 1%, where these people intended to commit a crime, had no criminal record, went out and bought a gun, and went and committed the crime. Not even 1% did that. The others had guns, and then when they decided, or I'm not even sure if they decided, they just went nuts, just flipped out. And now, they're going to grab a gun and go do something about it and get committed for that crime. Right? I'm sorry, get convicted of that crime. So it's one of these deals where passing laws against legal gun owners, legally owned and possessed guns, doesn't really do anything when 86% of the criminals knowingly go around this and skirt the system. How do we stop that? How do we stop this black market of guns? Well, I kind of like the idea of the Convicted Gun Offenders Registry. Well, that would put a bit of a hink in this system. That would at least remove some of the people from the buying aspect of that market. It would most certainly remove some of the people from the selling aspect and dealing aspect of that market. It would start to trim it down. Once it starts to trim it down, and the flow isn't from so many sources, you can start plugging up these other sources. I kind of like this idea. On the surface, I really like this idea. Again, we're going to watch it and see how it goes. All right, I want to hit, again, a little bit of a good word here for RBN. Hopefully you enjoy the programming on RBN. I do. I listen to other shows, certainly other than just mine. By the way, call in number 800-313-9443. If you want to get into kind of spreading the good word of RBN. Great way to do this, word of mouth. You can also order 100 business cards. They're just generic business cards. It's $8. That includes shipping, and you get a bumper sticker. A couple ways you can get this stuff. You can call the office. You can call the RBN office at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719. 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time, because they're in Texas, Round Rock, Texas, just north of Austin. Beautiful area of Texas. Not to say that there's too many ugly areas of Texas. I love that state, but beautiful area of Texas. You can call them and order. Or you can send your $8 in to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. Again, 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, number 302, Suite 302. Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Send that $8 in there. Get the business cards. Pass those out to the other folks that you know, circle of influence, friends, families, coworkers. Get them interested in spreading the good word of RBN. You know, I had a discussion with John Stattmiller. It was well over a month ago now, talking about really how the listenership and spreading the true word out of RBN and letting people know really what the truth is out there and what's really going on behind the scenes. And we're gathering a lot of listeners and a bunch of big followers, good pro-American people. As a matter of fact, everybody who would probably be considered a right-wing extremist. So when we get imonjanetslist.com up and ready, I'm looking to get everybody to go in there and throw down their name. If you know other people who would be proud to be on that list, we'll have you throw down their name. I figure by next week we should be up and running with this. Again, you can always go on. You'll see a link on my site, 2aradio.com. Once imonjanetslist.com is up. Stick around.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, I'm going to read a story. I've had a couple of listeners email me, wanted to know my opinion on this. There's a corporal by the name of Justin Reed out of the United States Marine Corps that was flying from California back home to Jacksonville, North Carolina. Now, he had a stop. He actually boarded the plane in Las Vegas, near me, McCarran International, flew to Logan in Boston to then catch a connecting flight to Jackson, North Carolina. He checked his bag, not a carry-on, but a check bag that goes into the cargo hold of the plane. When it was moving from his plane that landed in Boston to the one that was taking him to Jacksonville, North Carolina, the federal baggage screeners rechecked his bag, which is highly unusual. In that bag, let's see, they found a handgun with a fully loaded magazine, grenade fuse and detonator, model rocket engines containing explosive mixtures, matches, and a disposable lighter. The bag had been checked without incident at McCarran International Airport in Las Vegas. His bag also contained several boxes of 9mm and 7.62mm ammunition. Reed was arrested on charges of possessing an infernal machine and attempting to put an explosive device on an aircraft. In court, Reed's attorney, Jeffrey Miller, said his client had no criminal record and had an excellent record as a Marine. He added that Reed had cooperated with authorities. Neither Miller nor his relatives could answer questions after the arraignment, or would answer them. Prosecutors called Reed very cooperative, but they said he had no plans to drop the charges. Ann Davis, a spokesman for the TSA, which oversees the airport security, said that officials are investigating the case, and it may be that Reed simply made a mistake. Now, that's overwhelmingly apparent. Okay, she said gun owners and members of the military can travel with firearms, but they must declare them, and the gun has to be unloaded. It must be packed in a secured lockbox. Some ammunition is also allowed, but it has to be packed appropriately or separately from the firearm. Okay. Reed declared the firearm in Las Vegas as required. Investigators initially reported he did not declare the gun, which was secured in a locked box, but later determined it had after locating the paperwork. So he literally followed the rules, didn't know about the rocket engines, and the other thing were tools of the trade. He was in California teaching a class that would require him to have had some of these fuses and things. He was traveling back with them rather than sending them through official channels, had them himself. Probably not a wise choice. Maybe it's something that happens in the Marine Corps. I don't know. But my feeling on this, the guy had no intent to do anything wrong. Slap him on the wrist and send him on his way. To prosecute a Marine, a battle-hardened Marine, who's teaching other Marines to be good Marines. You don't prosecute this guy. You don't make an example of this guy. But it's in Boston, okay? Totally anti-gun, totally leftist, totally liberal, and they're going to try to make an example of a Marine who sacrificed his this portion of his life to serve his country. Absolutely irreprehensible to me. I cannot stand that they would do something like this. Drives me a little bit nuts. In closing, guys, I'd like to remind the government, legislative, executive, and judicial branches, we'll be watching you, so you better keep your nose clean, because if not, we the people will take control back over from you until things are right. Thanks very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Feel your freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.